Let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Tuesday, January 6th to you. Still getting back used to this thing as we are on our second day back from break, but happy to be here. We've got a lot to talk about. Grizzlies back at it tonight, looking to snap a four-game losing streak, and they're doing it against a tall order. The San Antonio Spurs mean that literally, yes, with Wembanyama, questionable for tonight. Maybe game-time decision, we'll see. But also, Spurs now number two seed in the West. I mean, this is a team that looks like it's ready to compete right now. What do they have? Three wins over OKC. So the Grizzlies will get a look at the Spurs for the first time at home tonight. Remember, the Grizzlies dropped two down in San Antonio earlier this year. So Grizzlies back on the court again. Ja Morant listed as questionable. Thunder, speaking of, weirdly had a 45-game winning streak against teams with losing records snapped last night. We'll have to talk about that. After a real hot start, some things happening with Thunder. They're 5-5 over the last 10,
yeah.
John.
Yeah.
And then there are reports out there. We'll just make this an all-NBA open. See about the Trae Young stuff?
Yep.
Mark Stein said there's a team interested, maybe even close to a deal. We'll see. But the reports are out there that Atlanta is looking, working with Trae Young, obviously, to find a trade destination. We'll
right.
see what can happen. They certainly seem pretty far along in it. So a lot of NBA news as
yeah.
we come in here. And a ton of college football. Obviously, there's also new bracketology out. So, welcome, 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 Memphis. And, John, you're looking good.
Thank you.
Like you've been working, man.
You've been
busting your tail, haven't you?
I'm an old man now with kids. They kill me. And the jobs, they kill me. But I'm here. I'm happy to be here.
You've been busting your tail. We appreciate it.
And, you know, that's the blessing for sure. A lot to get today on the show. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the Grizzlies, Spurs coming in town. Wembanyama, questionable, did travel with the team. So, talk to her about all of that and more, just sort of the immediate future for the Memphis Grizzlies at 11:25. Then at 1:25, we're gonna kind of wrap this up with Frank as a regular. Obviously, the Memphis football season is over, and it's going to be, you know, I mean, there will be news intermittently with, you know, roster pickups and things like that, and we'll check in with Frank, you know, when that does happen. But this will be our final edition of the weekly visit with Frank Bonner. He'll join us at 1:25. And just, we'll catch up on everything that's gone on. I guess the staff has basically been completed.
Yeah. Old one gone,
yeah.
New one in for the most part.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so,
and you got some names, but mm-hmm. the more notable ones, it'd be nice to, we'll learn
yeah.
from Frank in terms
yeah.
of guys. And then, well, obviously, still waiting on guys.
Yep. So,
I need that Chris Jones kid.
We'll get into all that with Frank at 1:25. So, that is the show today. But it is the first time we're going to do it in the new year. It's not going to be the last time we do it in the new year, but usually we start our weeks with a little thing, BC, we call Cap or No Cap. I like it, man. New year, new show. I like it. Bells and whistles are
getting
even better around here. All right, Cap or No Cap, the Spurs who come in town tonight against the Grizzlies are a title contender in 2026. Cap, no cap.
Well, I would have said that's cap, you know, prior to what we've seen this season from them. But I think now, and again, I stress it, if you haven't looked at the standings in a while, maybe because you haven't wanted to, where the Grizzlies are. Spurs sitting right there at number two. They've shown us what they can do against OKC. They're 7-0 against the rest of the Southwest. I know Southwest, not very impressive. You talked about the two victories over Memphis down there. Remember who went off? Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox in those games. Those were without Wimby. They've also got a win, though, over Houston. And so you talk about the teams, and listen, you'd still have Denver up there with a healthy Jokic. I'd still have Houston up there as those teams that can contend with OKC. But the Spurs are the one that have already done it,
mm-hmm.
you know, have knocked the Thunder off and maybe sent them into a little bit of a spiral here. I'm not sure. We can touch on the Thunder later on. But how can you look at this team right now that's played so well without Wimby, that's had, you know, these young guards are ready? Vassell, by the way, I think is out tonight. He's been good for them.
Yeah,
but you've got Castle, who's averaging a team high, 7 assists, I think. You know, you've got Dylan Harper is coming along fine. And then, again, the rest of the guys that they've got, whether it's Harrison Barnes or De'Aaron Fox, who is playing some – I mean, what are we talking about? He's playing some really good basketball. They've got dudes that can step up if Wimby's not having a I'm just going to do everything night. So how can you look at that and say they're not contenders would be my point. So I think it's no cap that they're contenders right now. At one time, I thought this thing was sealed and done, put OKC in the finals. But how can you say that from what we've seen?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's a really good team. There's no debate about that. I think the only The only thing I might say is that, like, how often do we see a team go from not even playing a playoff series to winning a finals?
Sure.
They haven't earned their scars yet in the playoffs.
I get that.
Right? And I mean, even the hesitation Thunder had to do it.
To call them a contender before that. I get that.
I mean, I think aerially they're definitely a contender. I mean, so it's not – I mean, it's for the next 10 years they're going to be a contender. Are they a contender this year? Like, would I believe that they beat a Denver team that's healthy with Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray and Jokic? I would say probably not.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah. So they're a contender in the peripheral. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, they're coming. And in some ways, they're already here.
I think to call it cap, though, who do you feel better? I know with the experience factor, right, Jamal, and you've seen it from Jokic. But in terms of right now, you would still say that they're more of a threat? I mean, in a seven-game series right now, what's it looking like between Denver and the Spurs? That one's going. It's going to be competitive, right?
Oh,
they're not blowing them
definitely.
Off the floor.
Oh, yeah, so no I'll question
say,
about that.
I have a hard time saying it's cap.
Right. I just
but
feel
I
like,
get where you're at. There's a timeline in the NBA.
I don't know.
And they haven't paid
happened.
Their dues yet.
Have they even?
Is what you're saying?
Wimby has not played in a playoff series, right?
No, they didn't make it last year.
Yeah. So I just I don't know. Maybe he is the guy that could defy that. Maybe he is the guy who could, in his first playoff appearance ever, win four series. I mean, maybe that is. He is that good, and this team is. It's well built.
And we just saw one of the youngest teams in NBA history again win a title last year.
Right.
Sure, they had paid some dues, but it's still young squad.
Yeah.
It's not like it's totally been the old guard of late. We've seen a young team come in and do it.
Yeah.
I'm with you ultimately that they're not ready to win it yet.
Right.
I just have a hard time calling them something other than a contender when they're number two in the West. But, to your point, Grizzlies were number two in the West for a while last year.
Right.
Certainly weren't a contender.
Right.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, we believe this Spurs team a little more than
they're on the way up.
Yes, they're on the way up, and when they get there, they're going to be there.
It's happening faster than I thought.
I do think the Wimby health thing is going to be, because it does feel like he misses quite a bit of games. And I know they're cautious with him, and that's probably a big reason why. I do kind of expect him to play tonight because they've lost two out of their last four. They're coming off a bad loss to Portland.
Yeah, it was the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Didn't have Wimby, but you're right, it was a bad loss.
I think they had the Lakers tomorrow.
Not as bad as the Thunders.
Right. But I do think you'll see Wimby tonight on a minutes restriction, probably 20, 25 minutes. No Vassell, like you said, with the adductor. He apparently has been like their best offensive player. I mean, I'm not super familiar with his game, but I mean they're deep. They're very deep.
Well, aside from like De'Aaron, who we saw cook us twice, along with Harrison Barnes, who only lives to kill the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and then as far as tonight goes, it's just going to be a tough road.
I would throw it out. The Spurs are eighth in defensive rating and they're sixth offensively. So just one of those teams that already is as young as they are, a top 10 unit in both, almost a top five unit in both.
And I wouldn't be surprised if
it's regular season though.
It is.
You're right about that. Are you saying it's capped that they're a contender?
I'm saying it's capped in 2026.
I can't push back
but
too
like,
hard
it,
on that.
It's because I don't
refining that
right. Like I think they could be in the Western Conference Finals though. So I don't have super conviction on it because how can you not believe in the Spurs team with what they're doing right now? I mean, those numbers are impossible to argue with.
Stefan's a dog.
But John Schumann of NBA.com has the Spurs number one in his power rankings. I mean, I think that's a little soon. First of all, I know they beat the Thunder twice, but, they are the reigning champs. They do have a better record. I think for now you have to keep the Thunder one. But the Spurs are two. I mean, that's the thing. And there's nobody in the East right now that you would worry about. So it's just, as usual, it's just who comes out of the West. I think, again, it's kind of a cop-out answer. I don't think they win it this year, but, it does feel like you're going to – if he's out there, it's going to be impossible to keep him out.
Three losses to the Spurs this year.
The Grizz?
No, OKC.
Oh, OKC. Three times.
Two. It's three.
Oh, wow.
It's three. I'm looking at them.
Wow.
It's three losses to the Spurs this year.
Yeah, that's
– Three of their – what? Three of their seven losses are to the Spurs.
Well, and you can kind of see it, right?
It's hard to say cap, but
– Yeah.
No, respect to what they're doing, dude.
Well, you got Denver now. Denver should have something. They may not be on the same side of the bracket or whatever.
Oh, they will. Believe me, I had all the respect for Denver last year's playoffs when they were still as short a rotation as they were.
Yeah.
And they had a chance.
And then, I think Houston will have something to say.
They will.
about all that.
Point it out, though. This team's already got one win over Houston. It's just one. And it was, right. I'm pretty sure it was in San Antonio.
Right. But, no, but look, there's no question that in year three
of Wemby,
they're
not supposed to be here.
They are the two seed. They are the bona fide two seed. Okay. And, you know, they're probably, so long as that guy is on the floor, not going anywhere. So have you seen him in person yet?
No. We have. I took Chris to a Wemby game. Must have been, I think, last year. I believe so. Yeah.
We've got tickets tonight, and, you know, I'm hoping that he will play.
Well, you get him, hopefully, and Ja.
And Ja. Yes. I'm expecting Ja.
I mean, there's seven dudes out tonight. You know, so that you really need Ja. There was somebody, Vince Williams, also questionable. So,
right.
I mean, you got to have those two, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting Wemby on a.
Five and a half is the number I saw earlier.
Yeah, it's out to six at some spots. Okay. I expect him on a very, you know, limited basis. But you know what? Any of it.
It was soreness, and their coach sounded awfully optimistic after the loss to Portland on Sunday.
Yes, he did.
Or the Saturday, that was.
I mean, because he got hurt against the Knicks, and he said in the postgame that he would have come back.
Yeah, it's just knee soreness, I think, on this one. This isn't a big one.
I think they can get away with playing him because they've got tonight, tomorrow, and then they've got Thursday off, Friday off, and they play again on Saturday. So. They got some time in between.
Fox had 26 in the first one, 29 in the second one. Don't forget about him, dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still a baller.
Yeah, he is.
And on that team, now he's renewed.
Yes, he is. I mean, and again, guys step up. So, anyway, Spurs, whether they win the title this year or not, they're obviously going to be
They've arrived. A
predator every single year at this point, as long as Wemby is on the roster. All right, Memphis fans are prepared to be not an 11 seed, not a 12 seed, but a 13 seed in the NCAA tournament if they win the American Conference tournament.
I think it's capped that they're prepared to see themselves on the 13 line. We may have to, you know, prepare them for it, or they may have to prepare themselves for it. But that's where we use the number. John's at 13 because that's where Joe Lunardi's got him as the auto qualifier out of the American, playing Texas Tech 4 seed in this newest bracketology that's up over at ESPN.com. And so I think we had discussed 11 and 12s. I don't know that we had dropped as far as 13, and you're getting awfully close to, you know, playing status and everything else. But listen, at this point, it won't matter to me, right? Whether you're a 13 here or you're a 12, we know the road's going to be tough for Memphis in terms of Penny Hardaway getting a second NC tournament victory. That said, you've got to get there. You've got to. It's the same thing we said about Ryan in football. I don't want to move these things. The expectation for Penny Hardaway with what you have is to win the American every single year. And with that, what that means here in basketball, obviously, it winning your conference tournament, going to the NCAA tournament. Your road's going to be tough once you get there.
Yep.
But you better make it. And I think, you know, Penny Hardaway certainly has his eyes on that goal. We talked about it yesterday. There's enough talent on this team. You know, Tulsa's already lost one. The American looks, frankly, as weak as John's ever said it was. To be honest with you, we're dying for another team to step up. Maybe it's Tulsa eventually, but right now we've said this. This is the road you've got to go. And whether you're a 12, whether you're a 13, it's not going to matter. It's going to be tough once you get to the tournament, but you better make it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll be a 13 if they win the American Conference tournament. I think the brand of Memphis would get them on the 12 line. The league is bad.
Need to beat Utah State.
Definitely,
if that's going to be the key, if you're going to get that, I mean, right? Because what do you have other than the Baylor win and the non-con, and then your conference is? Well, let's just say Tulsa keeps losing.
Let me go back to
average.
It does depend on how Memphis fares in the league, right?
Yeah.
Like, are they going to go 14-4, 15-3? Are they going to go, you know, 12-6 or 11-7? You know, it just depends on that. But I mean, you know, if let's just take an average here of 14-4, and you know, you came up a little short against Purdue, you came up a little short against, you know, Ole Miss. I mean, you could just make the argument that Memphis played a brutal schedule, and they got better as the year went on. I'm just making the case for a 12. Now, that might not hold water, but man, to see Memphis, or really not even Memphis, but the American Conference Tournament champion as the 13 seed. Really tells you everything. I think UAB was a 12 when they won the American Conference tournament 2 years ago. I believe that's or whenever they did it, they were 12. So that signifies that they've fallen even further on the seed line than 12. I mean, you know, 13 upsets happen for sure, It's not like four seeded teams have flaws. Do you have the fours in front of you?
The other fours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just like
to know.
They
got a new layout on it that I don't like that's taking longer to load on my computer.
Well, it would probably be teams like, you know, Michigan State, Louisville again, you know, Tennessee, Alabama, you know, those Florida, which, I mean, those teams are certainly.
Mention Texas Tech. I see Arkansas is a four.
Okay.
Against East Texas A&M. The other fours are Illinois and Michigan State.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously against any of those teams, you're going to be a major underdog.
The fives, if you're the 12, as you say, North Carolina, Kansas, and then going scrolling back up, the other fives is Louisville and Tennessee.
Okay. So, I mean, two of the four matchups there don't scare you, right? I mean, Tennessee and Kansas with Darren Peterson's mysterious injury, like you could talk yourself into that. I have a harder time doing that with Michigan State, with, you know, Arkansas. I mean, I, you know, that's, you're gonna be up against it, man.
Illinois was the one.
Illinois, the other, man, come four. On, dude. Illinois averages 100 points a game. Yeah. I mean, that's just gonna be really, really tough. Now, I mean, you're 13. You're supposed to lose in the first round.
Either way, that's the point. 12, 13. Prepare yourself.
You know, the question.
And I don't know that there's a huge difference between
right.
It's going to be a double-digit seed. Maybe we didn't expect it to be possibly
right,
as low as 13. Hopefully it's not. Like you said, there are more 12-5 upsets.
Right.
But prepare yourself because the AAC is not going to help
you. I just wonder, like, is there – okay, you played the tough schedule. You got nothing out of it. I mean, is there a lesson in that if you had played, you know, a worse schedule but you had a worse record, is there a world where your seed is a little better if you – I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because they did get rewarded last year for playing it. Now they won it. They won. They went 10-3.
Shouldn't you just keep it that way if you're Penny? And that way, at least with the selection committee in those years where you
right.
earned it, they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's
right.
be real. They didn't earn it this year.
Yeah.
I mean, the UNLV, you mentioned that. Wake Forest, you gave away.
Yep.
You left that one off the table. I mean, Vanderbilt, there was an opportunity there with the way how poorly Vanderbilt played that game on your home floor. And so it's hard to give it to them this year. You got to earn it. But my point is if you stay, number one, John, you got to put some butts in seats. That's the other part about your non-conference.
That's
you
true.
Can't just
that
go all
true.
Cupcakes down there. What you expect to be down there in the first place? I mean, it's already bad. But then number two, there is now the expectation that Penny, knowing how tough it is for him in the American and for Memphis in the American, that he's going to schedule like this. I think you stay there. And frankly, what you do, John, is what you adjust is this roster building and you do better against these types of schedules. I think this is the way to go. There's more to be gained this route than going cupcake route and trying to trick the metrics.
Yep.
I don't know about how you feel, but that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, no, I think
I'd
that's probably fair.
I prefer he continues to try to schedule like this.
Yeah, because, you know, there is that element of
it. You got Louisville and Baylor hooked up, right?
Right.
I mean, you're at least hooked in with them. Hopefully Ole Miss continues to happen. So, you know, for some of them, you're already locked in.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
But that's what it's going to look like for Memphis. If you win the American Conference Tournament, you're going to be probably a 13 at this point, given the quality of the league. Which also, again, just speaks to the urgency of getting the hell out of this thing.
So, it would have been better for Memphis that Tulsa's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we would have preferred. Tulsa team to stand up.
I mean, yeah, it would just be good generally for the – you want to have opportunities for quad one wins.
Well, it could meet a seed line.
Yeah.
A couple of wins over a Tulsa team that's been good, right, can help you from that 13 to the 12th spot maybe at this point, and a win over Utah State to help round out this, you know, let's be real, unimpressive non-conference record.
Yeah. Now, in this particular year, maybe it doesn't mean as much, but, you know, generally, you'd like to be able to say before a season starts, hey, I got 3 to 5 quad one opportunities in my league, not just one or none.
Mm-hmm.
It makes life really, really difficult.
Well, how far did Tulsa fall in terms of the Torvix and all that with the loss?
Did they? I'm assuming that they
did. Yeah, I mean, I remember how highly ranked they've been.
They are 61 at Torvix.
They still the highest ranked in the America?
They were 58th before the loss.
And North Texas is in Memphis. Where are those two? Those the two, right? And then I guess we should consider South Florida. But
Memphis, it looks like, is 70 at Torvik. And then North Texas is going to be significantly lower, 161.
All right, don't worry about them.
Yeah, so it's Memphis.
Who am I listening to? South Florida?
Yeah, South Florida, who just lost to UAB, right?
They've all lost to each other.
South Florida's 74. So you're all.
So your top in Torvik right now are
Tulsa, Memphis, South Florida.
Yeah.
That's what you got. So
It feels as bad as it's ever been.
There's nobody else in the, Wichita State's 93. So that's your top 100s. You got Tulsa 61, Memphis 70, South Florida 74, Wichita 93, and the rest are 100 or worse.
All right, then.
I mean, that's literally the bottom two-thirds of college basketball. I mean, that's your entire schedule, you know? Like Rice, who Memphis just Rice is 230 at Torvik. East Carolina is 290. UTSA is 323.
It's actually up from last year right now. 2 years ago in 24, the American was ninth. Last year they dropped to 11th. I'm talking about the KenPom rankings, conference rankings. This year they're at 10th, but it is not strongly ahead of CUSA. Slightly better than last year, but still awful.
Well, I mean, the problem is, as we've talked about, most of these schools want to be good in football, and they don't have the money to be good in both. Mm-hmm. I mean, Memphis is the only school, I mean, with maybe South Florida you could put in that conversation, but they're the only two in this league that actually have the money and the resources to try to be good at both.
Both.
And so they're
part of the issue.
The rest of this league is just like, we'll just kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know? We don't give a damn. We win the conference tournament 1 year. That's great for us. You know, it's like the ambitions don't align in this league, and it's just like you're stuck, and there's nothing you can do about it, Jason, except, you know.
Win it every year. Make the tournament, and then hopefully make a run from there.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Bentz is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the Grizzlies, Wimby coming in tonight, and more. Stick around, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson, Grind City Media, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Grizz Radio Network. She joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. Jessica, I have but two words for you.
Yes.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yes.
Has he risen to, you know, LeBron, Steph level of, I got to make sure that I see him when he comes in town?
He has for me. Like, I recognized this morning, as we embark on 4 games in 6 nights for a Grizzlies team that has bodies in and out of the lineup and injuries and is on a 4-game losing streak, I still had a jolt to get ready for tonight's Grizzlies-Spurs game because it is a chance to hopefully see Victor Wembanyama. And he's questionable too, but he traveled with the team, practiced in full yesterday. And I really think when it comes to players that give matchups an extra boost, for me as somebody who is lucky enough to get to take in every team in the league by working for the Grizzlies, I think it's Wemby, Jokic, Steph, and LeBron. Like, those are the four that elevate something a little further. And that doesn't mean there aren't other players that you get excited for, but there's just something different about somebody like Victor Wembanyama, who is a true specimen to evaluate every time you get the chance to see him play.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think Jokic is a good call out. And I particularly like going to Denver Nuggets games because it doesn't seem like the general populace feels the same way about watching Jokic. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
He plays the most elegant, intelligent basketball possible, but he doesn't dunk. And so, you know, people don't associate, like, oh man, I got to go to the nut. I do think Wemby has broken through to that.
Because Wemby is in like freak mode. I mean, I think Giannis flirted with being in that territory, and for whatever reason, he's still great, don't get me wrong,
right,
but he doesn't transcend to the casual fan. I think Victor Wembanyama is so just uniquely interesting and great and already doing things that have you thinking like, oh yeah, we're going to be talking about this guy as long as he stays healthy, as one of the greatest players we potentially ever see. And so that draws it a little bit more. But yeah, Jokic is the greatest player in the world. So that's his calling card. Wemby is such a unique alien-like creature that he has elevated into this space fairly quickly.
Is it so fast and this team so fast that you could see them in the finals? It's a version of a question John and I were asking each other in terms of contender now or not. We all agree they're ahead of schedule. They've got 3 wins over OKC. That said, John and I still sort of subscribe to the old guard that you got to pay your dues first. But we saw OKC, as young as they were, win one. I think some of us were even saying, hey, Clippers in Denver, you know, because of the experience, could knock off OKC maybe last year, and we're obviously wrong about that. What say you about whether San Antonio's a true contender right now?
Yeah, CJ and I did this exercise this morning, too, which I think is a natural exercise for anybody here, and like the calendar just turned. But the fact that you get to see the Spurs and the Thunder in Memphis this week, and I'm not by any means saying that the Suns are in that territory, but the Suns also beat the Thunder. So you have two teams that have beaten the Thunder, and then the Thunder as the kind of like pallbearer, the stake bearer of the Western Conference, even though they've lost five of their last 10. I do put the Spurs in there simply because they beat them three times. Like that's an that's a non-negotiable reality that even if we get to a place where, let's say we're watching Spurs Thunder in the Western Conference semifinals, you will go into that series saying, hey, remember that 2-week stretch where the Thunder went from looking like a team that were absolutely chasing the Warriors regular season win total record and then lost to the Spurs three times and then lost to the Timberwolves and the Suns and hell, they even lost to the Charlotte Hornets last night. So I think the Spurs get into that based on the resume, also based on their play with and without Wemby and Wemby starting and then Wemby coming off the bench. They've just shown their versatility and having a lot of different guys who are capable of leading them in this moment. That said, I feel the same way that you do, the paying of the dues until you see the playoff experience. Sometimes it's hard to really buy in on that, and that's where I still look at the Nuggets and the fact that even without Jokic, they get a big win over the Sixers last night. They're getting contributions from a variety of guys. They weren't just without Jokic. They were without Jamal Murray last night, too, and it's Julian Pickett who has 29 points for them. So I'm still putting them in that category, and then in the East, it's kind of Pistons, Knicks, and don't overlook the Celtics who are suddenly in second, and Jaylen Brown, who's mad that he wasn't Eastern Conference Player of the Month, has been tremendous for them. So those are kind of the teams that have separated themselves in my mind.
Obviously, on the Grizzlies side, no Cedric Cowher tonight, left ankle sprain. Obviously, he has been an Iron Man, you know. I mean, that's kind of the thing that everybody quietly was probably thinking before the injury happened. It's like, man, and at least they got, you know, Cedric Cowher, who he doesn't seem to get hurt. It was a freaky thing. It wasn't like a non-contact or anything like that. It was just he stepped on a foot, and they're rightly being cautious. But how much different do you think this team? Because we've seen this team without pretty much everybody else, but we haven't really seen this team at length without Cedric Cowher. How much different are they going to be without him on the court tonight, and for however long he's going to be out?
I think probably the most unfortunate part of the Cedric Cowher, I won't say the most unfortunate, let's call it second most unfortunate, because the most unfortunate part is that you want Cedric Cowher to get infinite reps on an NBA court and to just see how he has already evolved as a scorer at all three levels and what he does in transition, but also the half court, and oh, his rebounding has been great. That's awesome, and you want as many games as possible for a rookie who's growing. But then the second biggest thing with his injury is, does this force them to go back to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the starting lineup, which we saw at the beginning of the season? That is an iteration of a starting lineup that we saw, and it didn't go great. But what did go really well was putting Kenny into that bench unit and really serving as the leader, and both the vocal leader, the mature leader, and also just the way that his play helped impact leading a Grizzlies bench that became the highest scoring bench in the NBA at this point in the season. And so if you take that out, and we saw when KCP was injured, that bench unit got a little shaky and then comes back in the game against the Lakers on Friday and really kind of levels the ship back on course. And without the bench on Friday, it could have been a much worse game against the Lakers. So I think that's the unfortunate, like, extra impact that losing Cedric Cowher gives, is not just taking him out, but the forced reshuffling again of players being forced to do a role that might not be the best version of their role on this team.
It feels like, you know, John and I were having a version of this conversation that it's going to be real tough, maybe, Jessica, come trade deadline time, to be able to say that you have a lot of information about anything, right? I mean, we know this team's a whole lot better with Zach Edey, and boy, do things start looking like there's some identity. I mean, that's obviously something you've learned, but in terms of retooling around John Jaren because of all this in out, whether it's judging the job that Isolo has done or deciding, you know what, we need to make this move at the trade deadline, it just feels like with, I think John said, what is it, second most games missed in the league with Indiana, the only one that's had more missed. It just feels like there's not enough to make a judgment. in terms of which direction to go. Jessica, would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I know that it can sound like a cop-out, but it's a reality. I don't know what to think of this team. We have seen so many different identities of this team based on who is in and out of the lineup. I mean, they were a team that won three of their first five, and then they lost nine of their next 10, and then they won seven of their next nine, and oh, maybe they can get to 500 and even be a team that's flirting of getting outside of the play-in tournament, and now it's, oh no, they've lost four in a row, and they lost 2 in 8 days to the Wizards, and they're barely hanging on to a spot in the playoffs, and the Clippers are looking functional, and are only 2 games behind them in that 10 spot, and I really think it boils down, like, coming out of the Lakers game on Sunday, I could not find myself overly angry or I find myself frustrated because Cedric Coward gets hurt, but in terms of lineups and minutes. Everything that's taking place, because your two point guards, your point guard depth is a rookie in Javon Small and Cam Spencer continuing to fill in as a starter when Jaw's out, and then your two centers are Jock Landale and Christian Coloco on a 10-day contract. Yeah. So how mad can you be that a game against the Lakers where LeBron and Luka are able to take over and they get what they got from Jake LaRavia, which I know adds to a frustration when you watch old friends do well in new homes, but I just find myself unable to definitively say this is what this team is. And so, yes, as you approach the trade deadline, you're dealing with a lot of ambiguity still, which is not a very fun place to be operating from here on January 6th.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is there's just nothing really rewarding about any of this. It's like at least, I mean, I guess if they decided at some point, hey, we're really going to embrace the injuries here and we're going to keep guys out and you're going to try to maximize a lottery pick, I suppose, you know, in 5 months that could be, you know, rewarding in whatever way they do draft well. But today it just feels like, you know, you're trying to every decision, every lens that you're trying to make them through is completely foggy right now. Like, what is the organization even supposed to do? I mean, I guess at some point they're going to have to do something, and they may have to make a decision through foggy, because, you know, Jessica, there's no guarantee whether it's February or whether it's the end of the year that they're ever going to get all these guys together.
Right. Yeah, you start to feel like a crazy person. You're like, well, when they get fully healthy, and eventually you have to look back at the last 3 years and you're like, okay, well, have we seen that ever?
Right.
But you hold on to the hope,
right,
especially with the, you know, the dangling of, well, maybe this is the week that Ty Jerome is reevaluated and comes back. And the Zach Edey component feels so important because you're so, like, mesmerized by the few minutes that you've seen of Edey and John Jaren all play together. And that's what this thing is supposed to look like. But you don't even know, you don't want to take too much of a small sample size and say definitively this is what that team is when healthy, because you haven't seen it. But it's also a matter of, you know, coming off of an offseason where they did make a dramatic move. Like, they did make the decision to go in on this track of John Jaren and taking away Desmond Bane, no longer going the route of the big three. That wasn't working. Okay, Desmond Bane goes to Orlando. You get the haul back for him. You are able to get, you know, a great draft pick in Cedric Coward, so that's another infusion of youth. Again, I keep going back to the word ambiguous, which just feels a little overused, but feels very applicable to what this team is, because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you almost start to sound like Rudy Gay when he said, we would have beat the Heat.
Oh yeah,
if they hadn't traded me.
You know? Sure, you could absolutely make the hypothetical writing of history when you don't know,
saw
it.
Well, I think we know. Didn't D. Wade confront him over the break? Didn't that? Did I imagine that?
Yeah, that clip.
Okay.
That clip crossed my timeline.
It was actually kind of cringy. You know, because Rudy Gay was obviously feeling very comfortable in that podcast, and maybe, you know, there was a little bit of a pillow talk, so to speak.
Mm.
You know, and then when he was called on it on the studio show, it was, I don't think he made eye contact with D. Wade when he was trying to defend the opinion. So, you know.
I think D. Wade said something along the lines of it had to have been an AI-generated quote a few months ago. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I remember from it.
We saw the Mark Stein report that the Wizards considered a possible suitor for Trae Young. I'd just be curious from that side, the Wizards side, Jess, if you were in that front office, if Atlanta attached a first-round pick to Trae Young, would you do it? Would you pull the trigger?
So maybe it's because we watched the Wizards beat the Grizzlies twice in a row.
We did. Really.
But I feel maybe better about the Wizards today than I felt before. They're still the worst team in the league, so there's obviously roster tinkering to be done. But I really like their young pieces and Sar, and I think the Wizards reporting that I saw, if he were to go to the Wizards, Atlanta might get a Keyshawn George back. And I think Keyshawn George has been great for Washington. And Trey Johnson, they finally have this young crop of talent, Bilal Coulibaly, Bub Carrington, that feels like they've hit. And so perhaps you get a true point guard and Trey Young in there to organize it and to really help it stay functional. And you take the miss that you get on defense with Trey Young and figure that you have enough around him. I don't know. I'm really curious about how teams operate. And I never want to pretend like we know anything about any trade deadline, because I'll never forget last year where I was when Luka got traded from the Mavs to the Lakers. And I'm like, okay, well, anything can happen. Literally anything can happen. But you just wonder, with the new CBA and just the benefits of a team building from within, do you take the swing on these guys who are up for a contract extension, what that financial situation looks like, how much money you're paying them, the availability side of things? With a Trey, I feel like you know who he is at this point, so there's some niceness in that, while also you know what he lacks, what you're not going to get. So I'm curious if the Wizards are the kind of team that takes that swing, but it does certainly feel like his time in Atlanta is coming to an end, and I think that's a little sad.
Sad.
I mean, they had the one run, but he does.
I know, so I'm a wistful person where I look at that one run, and I look at somebody who has been with the team, you know, as long as he has, and I just think to myself, man, it could have gone better. You know, I'm always the, like, hopeless romantic of the NBA who sees these partnerships of players with franchises and being the face of a franchise, and you have all the hope in the world of what that player is going to bring, and the fact that it comes up short. Yes, you make that run to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that was a great time. That was the best of times. But now it's been a lot of, like, mediocre times around it, and that's always disappointing.
Absolutely. Talking to Jessica Benson from Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network. All right, on a college football playoff, this Final Four, man. I mean, this Final Four is awesome.
Electric.
Indiana, Oregon, which, okay. Miami, Ole Miss, what in the hell? How great. I mean, this feels great for college football. I know, like, tickets you could get in for actually, they'll give you $12 to go to Miami Ole Miss. But it does feel like, on the whole, this is a – even if we don't have a Texas, we don't have an Ohio State, we don't have a Bam, we don't have a – this feels great for college football on the whole.
I really don't care what the ratings end up being. I thought the ratings for the Rose Bowl with Indiana and Alabama were stupid good, like far exceeded all the other games. And that was an awesome display of Indiana greatness, even though it wasn't a very good game because they just – kicked the butt out of Alabama, which is a wild sentence to say in 2025. But I love every potential championship matchup that can come out of these two semifinals. And it just feels good to have this representation of what the playoff was made for. The playoff was made to have the opportunity for teams like Indiana, which is the one seed. So, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do, but Oregon, Ole Miss, and Miami to come in, knock off their opponents on the way to the semifinals and get a chance at a championship. And whether you have Indiana or Oregon being a first-time champion, or, you know, Ole Miss claims their one in the 60s, and I'm at least old enough to remember when Miami football had a real relevance, but it's been a long time. And so it just feels like no matter what, you're infused with fresh energy into whoever is going to be the next national champion. And I just think that's great. Like, I am someone who has looked at the sport of college football and it had some frustrations with just how the sport has changed and the Lane Kiffin drama of everything, of leaving a team that now I truly think the funniest outcome is Ole Miss winning a championship, because if a coach leaves a team to win a championship elsewhere, but that team that he left ends up winning a championship, there's no better representation of the greed that has infiltrated or just completely taken over college football. And I think sometimes that greed and that just emphasis on money and nothing but money can be frustrating for a college football purist like myself. But this playoff has just completely delighted me, and I think this is what it's all about. And I can't wait to see who ends up playing in the championship game. It feels so weird that we have a game on January 20th. You know, like, that's so late.
It is. It's taking way too long. It's taking way too long.
It could be early in the month.
I don't even remember, you know, Miami, Ohio State at this point. You know,
and
we're still 2 weeks away from crowning a champ.
I would love for those games to get I would love for it to be a condensed and to happen earlier, and then for the games at least through the quarterfinals to be played on the campuses still. Hey, those were the two changes that I would make.
I just got a question for your expert eye, Jess. Trinidad Chambliss, I just become more and more of a fan every time I watch him play. Why wouldn't you be at this point with what he just did against Georgia? He's amazing. He's also listed at 6'1". Some say he's shorter than that. Do you see, I mean, when I watch him, when I watch the arm, I see NFL quarterback. Obviously, he's applied for the you know, a waiver to get another year and would go back to Ole Miss. But if he didn't get the waiver, if he had to go to the NFL or decided to go, I mean, are we talking an NFL talent here? Are we talking sort of the next, some have compared him to Kyler Murray because of the question about height. Which way do you think Trinidad Chambliss goes?
I think it's one of those high upside guys. I mean, I think honestly the best thing that could happen for him is if he were to be able to play. Well, I mean, I guess if you capitalize on the momentum now and in a year of a semi-weak quarterback class, maybe somebody takes a jump on him as opposed to if he were to play another year and not continue to gain on the momentum that he has gathered this year. But I do think if he can come back to Ole Miss next year and prove, hey, I didn't just do this 1 year, I did it two, that would set himself up to be one of those high upside guys. Like, we see people take swings on people often, especially at the quarterback position. And, you know, short kings can get it done at the QB position too. But he was so electric in that quarterfinal game. Like, that scramble on 3rd and 7 early in the fourth quarter, just absolute sorcery. And the play that sets up the game-winning field goal, he just came up with big play after big play. And I don't know how you can't watch someone put a performance like that on tape and not at least consider the idea that maybe he could be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Then before we get you out of here, any advice? I know we're all in this thing together. We're all family, okay? You know, you work on 92.9 as a part of the Grizz Radio Network. You come on this show. So I feel like I'm not stepping out of line here asking for some morning show advice. It's been about a decade for me since I've been on, you know, before 11 a.m. Any advice from a morning show host?
Well, you guys get you're 9, right?
Yeah, 9 a.m.
I think that makes a huge difference. Huh. I say all the time, I'd be another person if my show started at 9 instead of 8. If I could wake up at 5:30 instead of 4:30, I would rule the world. Like, I would maybe not have to take 200 naps in 1 year, you know? So I think just make sure you
numbers.
Give yourself some, yeah, I put up stats. My good old Aura ring tracks my sleeping stats, and I think my actual number was 133. I took 133 naps.
When you said that to me,
wow.
I gotta say I had the over. I thought you'd be like a 365, like once a day. I thought you'd be like, but
I don't nap. I don't nap on weekends. I don't nap on vacations. I don't nap. I can't sometimes, like, on a game day, I don't have time to nap. I can never nap on a Wednesday. My schedule is too built out on Wednesdays to ever nap. So considering the barriers there, 133 is a pretty high number.
I wonder if anybody out there can beat that. I want to see somebody.
I think I can beat it this year.
And I'm old.
I'm gonna gun for 150 this year. That's my nap goal.
You want to have more
naps. You guys might start taking naps too. I don't know.
I'm taking a nap. You're damn right. You know, a nap for me though is not really a nap. A nap is like I just get to lay in the bed. That's like I don't think I'm actually gonna fall asleep. You know, I think it's just I get to lay in the bed for an hour and not have to be, you know, chase a kid around or pick up a kid or drop a kid off or that kind of thing. That's what I'm excited. I want to just scroll a TikTok for an hour, guilt free, in the new time slot, and I'm gonna count that as a nap. So thank you.
I think TikTok scrolling, your heart rate lowers enough that you can count it as an app.
Well, congrats.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys to join the morning show life.
Yes, it's a great opportunity. And, you know,
grateful that you've joined us.
As you know, and I know you have multiple things you do, but getting done at, you know, 10 a.m. for you is what a blessing. It'll be noon for us.
Man, on the days when I am really done at 10, there's nothing like it. I'm like, this is the greatest schedule in the world. And
really
then
is.
The Grizzlies have a back-to-back and 4 games in 6 nights. I'll be leaving the office at midnight tonight, and I'll be back at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Ooh, that's a grind. There is an off-season.
Yeah.
I mean, you're putting in work over there like Santi Aldama.
That's
I mean, there's
biz.
Just no difference. Thank you. Thank you, as always. You're the best.
Thanks.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Yep.
Jessica Benson.
That's tough.
Man, midnight.
Finishing up that late and then having to come back for that morning show.
Yeah, because then you got to go, you know.
We don't have anything like that. I mean, I know you have some late Field of 68
I do,
nights.
Yeah, but I get done with that, you but, know, probably around 11. And
right
I'm
now
home.
You have an 11 o'clock show. That's going to change.
And but, I'm at home. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like,
That's rough. That's
I do have
show
to
business.
Wind down a little bit, but, you know, that's, you know, I just.
Salute to Jess.
You know, it's one of those things.
Get you a couple more naps in for 2026,
I'm
bro.
I am so excited about it. Again, it's
I not, swear you look like you got some sleep over the bro. I'm not just saying that because we're here. I was going to say it yesterday. All in your eyes and everything else, you look rested.
Well,
you look a little fresher.
I appreciate that. I don't know if I feel that way, but.
Would you agree, Brad, or am I blowing smoke here?
No, I think both of y'all are fresh as hell.
Well, I don't know about me. I've missed, you took a week off from the haircuts. But we're talking about John. We're being honest. Don't you
oh,
see?
Oh, you haven't taken
Yeah, we took a skip because we're all great. I'm back in there today. Got to get back in the, got to get back in the chair today. Just so I got a little extra gristle
okay.
and stuff like
you look
that.
Healthy. Both of y'all, though, I will say to Jessica's point, though, I did first 4 years I moved here, I did the 6 a.m. shift along with programming. There is something different from 7 a.m. to that 9 o'clock slot. And that's why I'm enjoying the fact that we're just going to do 9 because 7 a.m. comes pretty damn fast.
Yeah, I believe her. Big difference just in that hour alone from 8 to 9, like she said.
That's so, right.
Jess, if she could ever get a 9 o'clock show, we're in trouble. She said she could take over the world.
Yeah.
She could, yeah. I mean,
we'll
it's
be
a big
working
difference.
For her.
Yeah, and then she's also going to midnight. I mean, that tonight, yeah. like, they'll probably go
that's
past midnight.
That's tough.
She was basically saying if she got the 9 a.m. show, she would be the new president of Venezuela.
Whatever she wants, Greenland, anything she wants, she'd take over the world. And I believe it, dude. She's that talented.
Now, that is.
She'd be much more diplomatic about it.
That is part of the Kingdom of Denmark, Jason.
I know.
All right, so leave it alone. Leave it alone, man.
That's y'all. Take
no,
over.
Sir.
No, there's actually a. This is. I don't think this is. Again, I don't have any
Careful.
Way of tracking this.
It's been a while.
You could literally bet on this.
Oh,
at
no.
Cauchy.
You can bet on anything.
Will the,
what
United
country
States,
we're taking next?
Will the United States take control of any part of Greenland? And it's plus 177.
Because we want it.
Damn, that's actually ridiculous. That's actually close.
It's actually worse odds than the Grizzlies have of beating the Spurs tonight. I mean, literally. Like,
that's ridiculous.
The Grizzlies are plus 210.
Come on, bro.
There's a better chance that the United States takes Greenland than there is if the Grizzlies beat the Spurs.
Yeah, yeah. All we got to do is contain Harrison Barnes.
Is Wemby still questionable?
No, he went through shoot around.
Yeah, he's
and,
playing.
And he is they
son
say
of a gun.
Good. So Wemby will be in the building tonight.
We're screwed.
And the number went to 6.5.
Yeah. For the fans going down, I'm kind of happy he's playing.
I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm going.
It's a good thing.
I got these tickets.
Hopefully,
you know,
get Ja and Wemby.
No, it'll be a fun
try
event
to
tonight.
See him. You know, I mean, obviously, yes, I'll watch the Grizzlies, but like, I don't think I've seen Wemby live in effect. Now, he'll only play 20 minutes. It ain't going to be a long, you know, run for him. But
I'm fairly certain I had a picture of an Edie Wemby tip last year. Could be just dreaming that up, but I'm fairly certain I have the picture of that from being down there.
Now, that would be
Yeah, you won't get that.
No, I won't get that.
With Edie out.
Dude, I'll get the matchup everybody was looking for. Yeah. Jock Landale versus Victor Wembanyama, bro. This is like a Western Conference Finals preview, man.
We got the Aussie back tonight.
Christian Coloco.
Oh, God. That guy is terrible.
He is so bad.
I watched him in person over the break.
There was one game, I don't remember, it might have been the Philly game, when
Yes.
he got the ball, and he literally looked like he couldn't believe it. He didn't even know. He's like, me? I got ball? Like, what do I do? Like, I mean, seriously, I don't remember when it happened. I know there are people out there who are watching who know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
He ended up, like, shooting it and missing badly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I think Jaren passed it to him, and he just couldn't believe his luck, you know, that he got the ball. And I think he went 0-for against the Lakers the other night. Look, again, bro, he was on the street, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think he was – he is not supposed to be playing NBA minutes right now.
I will say that 76ers game, I think that was last Tuesday maybe at home, that was an – unbelievable. I was there for that game
the
with the family.
In that game,
yeah, you had Maxey, you had an overtime performance, you had Ja knocking down shots.
Oh,
I mean,
you went down to see your favorite player, Tyrese Maxey.
I mean, he lit our ass up, dude.
He did.
Yeah, he cooked us.
That was a freaking awesome basketball
game. It was a super game. It was the best game I've seen in a couple of years down there.
Oh, you went?
Yeah, but the whole family.
That's what he's saying.
Because my kid's not going to be here for a long time, so I'm like, I even purchased tickets because I asked Scott, I'm like, hey, are the seats available? No.
Yeah, so. We're gonna audit who those tickets are going to.
Facts.
Okay?
I think we're trying to acquire a new business with those. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Which would be good.
Yeah.
Hey.
Let's go. You know what I mean?
John will go. J&J will go with you to the game for advertisers who would like to join the program.
That is a fact.
Yeah, we'll go.
I mean, there needs to be a minimum food and beverage spend and show spend, but, you know, we will definitely do that if
Stacey
there is.
Stacey was joking because they have that commercial that runs. It's buckets and beers and brews. And and she's like, that's not a bucket. They're saying buckets like basketball. That's only two beers.
A bucket is four,
Stacey,
right?
Calm down.
Or five.
Yeah. But they're thinking basketball buckets, Stacey was pissy about it. She's like, that's only two beers.
Well, the woman has a point.
My wife loves that beer.
Well, you know, don't we all? And if you're going down to the Grizz game tonight, Jason, what is the beer of choice? Is it Michelob?
I don't know, man. I'm out of the game.
I know, who you be doing reads for over there on Grizz Beat? Is it Mick Ultra?
I think they were sponsoring.
Yes, Mick Ultra. They're doing our watch parties, too. Partnership.
Yeah. Mick Ultra, very light beer.
That's what y'all love, right? And it become number one?
I think so.
I thought Fishman and Jeff had a stat on that back in the day.
You're right, yeah.
Michelob Ultra Gold, 85 calories.
What is it, like 4%, 3%? My dad's got that 2%, that 55.
I just keep drinking it, you know, until something happens.
It works.
So, you know, 85 calories.
Dude, I got a Bud Light's been in the refrigerator about 3 years.
Are you waiting to open it?
My wife bought it because she uses it to season her corned beef.
Okay.
Weirdly. Beer.
Jason, if I might, are you totally off the
alcohol
at all?
Yeah, trying to get off these blacks again. It's a Lord knows that's a lifetime battle. But back to it, that beer been sitting in there. It's so old. I wonder when y'all drink it.
I would.
If I brought it in here, would you drink it?
3-year-old Bud Light. Dude.
What's that born on date? It's like.
I don't know. I'll bring it in here.
I have no interest in drinking
it.
3-year-old Bud Light.
It's a tall boy. It's tall. It's a good old Bud Light.
It's wine. Freaking old ass stale
so
beer.
So it will have even with pop not you know top not pop.
Bro, it's
it will,
still carbonated. That thing will be old and stale.
And
it's
you'll
capped.
Drink it. You'll drink it.
You're good. I'll drink
so
that.
So it's not even alcohol anymore. He can drink it during the show.
It's like it's like basically probably evaporated. The ethanol is probably evaporated in the damn can.
We're on video. I'll drink it on video for the people.
Brad, I'm gonna bring it in here tomorrow, and you are gonna chug it.
Hell yeah, do it. Happy New Year.
That's fantastic. That's the best thing we've done.
I do think there's regulations, but what the hell?
It's the hash brown thing.
Just put it in a koozie. Nobody will know.
Can we do it like down a funnel? Down your, you know. Down your gullet
I don't know
and
if
everything.
I'm gonna chug that thing like an ice luge.
Chug.
That's disgusting, man. Yeah. Why would you volunteer to do this?
It might be older than 3 years. We'll see. I'll show you. We'll look at the born on date. You're drinking it tomorrow. I love it.
I'll drink it.
I love the commitment in 26 from you, bro.
I don't think we had to go that far.
I appreciate you, boss.
I am. Yeah.